Si vais terminando, por favor.
C'est un peu l'affiche à nouveau avec les petits micros.
Egunon guztioi, egunon eta ongi etorri Donostia Zinemaldiaren 64. edizio honetako lehen prentzaurreko honetara, sail ofizialaren lehen prentzaurreko honetara.
Good morning everyone, and above all welcome to the first press conference of the 64th edition of the San Sebastian Film Festival. As you know, this press conference corresponds to the film that this evening will officially inaugurate the official section, and therefore will inaugurate this edition of the festival. The film is a French production which is titled La Fille de Brest, or in English 150 milligrams. The team, all the cast is with us. We've got Emmanuel Bercot, the director and co-scriptwriter of the film, Sitze Babette Nunsen, the leading actress of the film, and Ben Franchon, who is the doctor upon which the story that the film portrays is based upon, and the producer Caroline Bergeau and Caron Escota. As always, they are prepared to answer any questions you may deem to ask after seeing the film, and we are all prepared to start the first question of the press conference. Good morning, congratulations for dealing with a subject which is of high impact with a lot of emotion. I would like to ask whether France has more freedom of press, or it's a country where there are more scandals from a health standpoint, especially in the mammary prostheses and so on and so forth. In Latin America, we have a lot of censorship vis-a-vis these types of stories. And I would like to know, what type of censorship did you have to get to address the subject matter that you addressed in the film? I would like to answer because I'm a doctor. I'm Irène Frachon, yes. The truth is we've had to confront censorship in France, yes. Yes, as I was saying, yes, we've had to confront censorship in France. Yes, a censorship which was extremely violent, as you've been able to see in the film. When I decided to publish and to provide that testimony in the book of what I had lived through, and that for me was an industrial crime, at that time I published a book which was directly attacked and immediately attacked by the laboratory or the big pharmaceutical company before even making it to the bookstores, and it was censored. 2 days after being in the bookstores, it was prohibited. We had to take it out of, and wasn't allowed to be sold. And this alert, I believe, would never come to be seen or come to the light. That is to say, this censorship had a lot of power. It's a censorship which is a scandal, I believe. Also, it came from the French justice because they were in favor of the Sergier French pharmaceutical company, a very powerful pharmaceutical company in France. But and the book was taken from the bookstores. But as the story tells, there are many people enabled this question, that of responding to how many deaths there had been after 30 years of the commercialization of this drug was an. There was a response. There were hundreds of deaths in France. Because that we could also talk about what happened in Spain, because there were, people have died in Spain as well. And finally, justice came on our side, and that censorship was released. But the censorship was quite brutal. It was unacceptable, and I feel very happy that the film can talk about that unacceptable censorship that took place in France. For Teleglobe Brazil, a beautiful film. Emmanuel, could you talk to us about the work that you carried out with the with photography and the DOP? Yes, well, I've been working with him for the last three films, and so we're starting to get to know each other quite well. Working with lighting and as well as with music, it's very difficult to find words to talk about this, to talk about light and music. But I always work, and I stem from photography, from photos and images. And that's the way I communicate myself with a script. That is to say, I carry out, I do a sort of iconography with iconography documents. He wants to know what I want vis-a-vis lighting. But with this film, there were certain difficulties because, as you've seen, and the sets weren't aesthetically too beautiful or easy to convey. We're a lot of white rooms without too much relief in the background, and it was very difficult for him to do all the lighting work. But I believe that we did the best we could because we had to shoot there. We wanted to shoot exactly in the real locations where this happened. It wasn't easy from the point of view of lighting and photography. Javier Suárez, Editora de Espectáculo. This is question is for Sitze. It's a film that the film is based upon, or you from the first to the last frame. You're on screen. It's a real story. It's a true story, and I'm sure the book is going to be read by many more people in the world. Do you feel an added pressure when you read the script of I'm not in another film, but it's a different film? And what was your relationship with Irene Franchon to convey and portray your role? And by the way, I want to congratulate you because you did a great job. Thank you. Sí, puedo hablar en inglés.
Well, first of all, as you've seen, the book is only the first, I think, three quarters of the film. The story continues after. So in that sense, there's the liberty of inventing a part of the story, because in the book as well, it's not, you don't really see the private side of her. You don't see the humanity. It's more the trial and such. So I did not feel any kind of pressure towards. I didn't feel more pressure than this, but what was important was that this was a portrayal of a woman who exists today and who is with us today, and that was that could have been scary because she's here to judge me. But the thing is, Irene gave me a lot of liberty. She permitted me to steal from her and be inspired by her, but also to contribute and to invent. So I think the Irene in the film is a little bit Irene Franchon, a little bit Emmanuel Bercourt, and a little bit Isabel Knutson. Was that the question? Okay, thanks.
Next question, please. Hi, good morning. I'm over here. The role of Brittany, is there a role that Brittany plays? Yes. It's a very important role because it's present constantly vis-a-vis the places as well as in the landscapes. But also with all of the people who have participated in this struggle, they're there because I'm not Danish, but I'm not either. Am I from Brittany? But I am from Brittany in my heart. I could have been my origin being Danish is unimportant. But I have been working for 20 years in Brest, and that's where my heart lies, and that's where I've worked with men and women like Antoine de Vignon, colleagues who's called Grégoire Leguane, Yannick Jovic, the cardiologist as well. And you've also been able to see patients on the screen, and you've seen Kat Marek, the editor. All of them are wholehearted native people from Brittany, and these, we always say, they're very solid people, and I needed to have those solid people beside me. Some of them their mother language is Britain, is the Britain language, Breton language, and the Britain people, the people from Brittany and the people from Brest, the population there, are very proud. They allow me to confront and continue to front a pharmaceutical company that is pitiless. So Brittany, yes, it is present in a very significant way in the film. Yes, a question for the director and another for the actress. For the director, I would like to know the kind of questions that you ask with these types of films. How did the project come into your hands? Did you know the book beforehand? Or how did you get the project vis-a-vis? Did you read the book and then you met the doctor? And then what freedom have you had to be able to tell the story? I'm not too sure whether the book contemplates family and relatives, or the doctor who told you the story of her relationship with the family and the rest of the surrounding people. And for the actress, I would like to know how you worked upon your character, and how did you have as a counselor and as an advisor, Dr. Irene herself, did she advise you in order to portray your role? Well, the producers told me to read Irene Frachon's book. And they asked me to meet her and to get together with her and get to know her. As she said, the book represents only half of the film. And then, above all, we focus upon what happened after the book. And for that, I've needed the testimony of Irene, of course. Irene has told us many things, the things that weren't even in the book. And plus, she has allowed us to get to know the real protagonists of the film, of the story. And we based upon that in order to prepare the script. That took a lot of time, of course, because we had the technical and scientific aspects, which were very complex to be able to digest in the film. And we had to tell them so that the audience could understand them. What freedoms have we taken? Well, very few. The Frachon family is an extraordinary family. You've got to meet them and to believe it. Irene talks us a bit about the family in her book. But above all, we wanted to spend some time with her. We've met her children, her husband. And we have impregnated ourselves with all of that in order to be able to talk Irene's family life. And the only freedom that we've taken, that I've allowed myself, has been as regards to the relationship between Antoine and Irene. Why? Well, because this is cinematography. It's a film, and we had to create certain tensions, situations of tension, and conflicts, and moments of a certain crisis, and a slight and a very light ambiguity from a sentimental standpoint. I hope she doesn't contradict me. That never took place in reality. That sentimental reality never took place in real life. Bueno, en cuanto a la interpretación, he conocido a Irene y la familia de Irene y le he visitado en el hospital. Y aunque yo no estaba enferma, otra persona estaba enferma, pero fui a su oficina en el hospital y hablé con ella. Pero la primera vez que conocí a Irene, sentí como es la primera vez.
Female hero in front of me, and I was so inspired because she's such an interesting character. I mean, has so many, for an actress, just so there's so much to play on, because now you see her sitting here being official with journalists, and she's got her project, but she's the silliest person you've ever met as well. She's really, really funny and very lively and emotional, and I mean, as an actress, you can't get better material than Irene Frachon. So I couldn't do all of her. That's not possible. Only she can be all that much. But we took some of it, and some parts of her, for example, the humor. We also had to transform, because I can't. Like, it's like charm. You can't go in and steal someone's charm and copy it. You have to find it in herself. So, for example, there's an extraordinary, her power, which is really, there's something extremely positive in her force. It's very, it's very upwards all the time, and the way I could do it was in a more sort of clownish, childish way, I think. That so we chose some things. We chose some physicalities that we thought were, if not Irene, but in that kind of that kind of area.
Bueno, parece.
It seems that the symbol that you have on your, it's the cross of the Argonauts. It seems that there's a lot of power in the film, in all, at all times. I would like to know what relationship exists between those ethical principles, and how that's influenced, or does it influence the energy that you show all the time, and whether, if that's the case, for the actress, what do you think of those principles, and whether you identify yourselves with those principles? She's talking about the fact that she's wearing a necklace with the Argonaut cross. I would like to say, as regards to Sidsu was saying a moment ago, the best proof of knowing whether there was a meeting between her and myself is to see that they said my children adored her in the film and they thought she was a fantastic mother. So my children have adopted Sitzer as an adoptive mother. So that's the best proof of the work she's carried out. Quite often I'm quite serious when I talk about this story because I try to talk a bit about seriously, but I'd also like to laugh. And sometimes my children, when they were very young, they thought I wasn't a very serious mother. They thought I wasn't very serious. Well, and that is true, but undoubtedly when we're talking about mediator, it's difficult to act like a clown. My parents created me in a religious and Christian and Protestant environment. From my parents, I've received that kind of education. It's simple, I think. The principles of the Christian religion. First of all, the idea is to not be afraid. And something that's also important is to know and to tell us that we're not alone. And to know that we're not alone. And undoubtedly, that we've got to be interested in those people that suffer. And we doctors, supposedly, we have that, supposed to have that vocation to interest ourselves in those people who suffer. We do that with our qualities and our defects. But an important thing for me was when I started to understand that before me, I not only had patients, but patients that had been poisoned. Poisoned until they died. And that, for me, was an enormous shock. Meanwhile, at that time, I lived without asking myself too many questions. I had a family, I had my principles, but the truth is I didn't need to go any further. And when I met, when I saw this story, all of a sudden, all of my principles came to life again. And they came to life, and that made me think I couldn't accept that situation. I had to carry out that struggle without any fear. There weren't any other questions to ask myself. There were no other options apart from struggling and fighting in favor of that cause. I can't avoid it. And that I said, that's the engine I have inside me, and that's the driving force, and that driving force and that engine all of a sudden started up and I had to do something. See.
Right. Do I share the same principles? I am not. I do not have the same religion, but I wore this all the time, and I think it's a big part of the character that I did as well. Even though we don't really talk about religion in the film, I think it's essential for her. She's got that. She's got her family. I think that's super important. And I personally have not followed the story. I'm from Denmark. It wasn't something that I noticed. But I had, on the other hand, this is a bit apart, but I played the Prime Minister in Denmark, and with every episode we had a subject, and I would look into that subject. And one episode was about my daughter in the film who has a depression, and so we read about all the statistics about the antidepressant medicine you give children, and I was in shock of how easily it is thrown across the counter. And I'm not a political person, so my idea is not to go out and write a story about it, but I did notice afterwards that people around me had children, normal children, who sometimes weren't functioning the way society wanted them to, that were presented with pills from their doctors. And you just have to say to everyone, don't do it. I mean, that's the way. That's my little... No, I couldn't answer that question, sorry.
Okay, next one. Hola, buenos días. Una...
Hi, good morning. It's seeing a subject like this in the inauguration of a film festival, apart from the value of the report and the commitment of the festival to inaugurate with this film festival with the European film, to what extent do you believe that the inauguration today symbolizes a struggle of women, be it in medicine, in the field of medicine, cinema, or in life in general? It is true, a lot of women. And I believe that it's not a coincidence, isn't it? In any case, but as regards to me, quite often I've been told that part of my position, we were talking about principles before, but the fact that I'm a woman was something which made that perhaps I had a maternal instinct when defending the rights of those victims. I would have done the same thing if they were my children. It's quite clear that women haven't got so much power, or they're not concerned in so much in power and in ambition as men are. But nevertheless, in my story, on Monday I said, well, okay, I'm a woman. I work in a hospital in a northern western province. I'm not a great university professor. I have no links within the industry, but I will always be able to work no matter what happens. And if I don't do this work to denunciate this, no one will do it. So being a woman is important as regards to this aspect. And it is true that women are important in this story. Women, especially the women who suffered the consequences of this drug. 80% of the victims of Mediator are women. Women who were sacrificed, yes, because what they wanted was to look more beautiful and to lose weight. And for this, all of this is very important. We're talking about the image of women here in this aspect that have been injured. And the image of women who have been injured by what happened. And I'm glad to see how Emmanuel has represented what, for me, is the sacrifice of a woman, even everything that she had to do. I would like to respond to the inauguration of the film festival with this film. We feel very happy to be here, by the way, and undoubtedly want to thank the director of the film festival for having proposed inaugurating the film with this, the festival with this film. The idea is to make films, and a film that tells a story of commitment. But in turn, we wanted it to be a film which was accessible and popular, but it also had a tell a good story, because as a producer, I see that popular films aren't in the hands of the best directors. And Emmanuel Berco is a great director. And I'm sure that directors such as her have to talk about subject matter like these subject matter that is committed and also are popular at the same time. And I feel that's what reflects the fact that we've inaugurated this film festival. And it allows us to see and consider this film as a film which is a hybrid film, and that makes me feel very happy. And I would like to remind you that Emmanuel inaugurated last year the Cannes Film Festival with a film which was called La Tête Haute, a film which was also a very, with a lot of commitment, and maybe that's one of her particularities that I see in La Tête Haute. My question is for Irene. Throughout the entire film, we've been seeing how the pressure you exercise in the pharmaceutical companies, in the medical, in the doctors, and also worried about your safety. Now, 6 years after what had happened, and with this story, the public story has been made public. What have you, if you received any reprisals from the pharmaceutical companies? Has anyone done anything to you? Have you received any negative feedback? Well, what I'm going to tell you is quite a shock. You'll be surprised. Nowadays, the pharmaceutical companies in general are against me, obviously, because the image of that magical pill has exploded in their faces, and now we're all a bit wary vis-a-vis marketing. But the pharmaceutical companies aren't bothering me. Who are more against me now are doctors. Precisely doctors, the medical corps that are closely linked to those pharmaceutical companies. And that lack of confidence and trust, and the fact that we question those links between doctors and pharmaceutical companies and laboratories, where we forget the person and the patient, that quite precisely is for what I'm criticized the most between doctors. I work a lot with the mediator victims, but now I avoid turning up to medical conferences because it's quite unpleasant when I feel that I've been attacked by them. That's happened to me already, and it's difficult. And I want to take full advantage now to tell you something that you may not know. Do you know? And that's why I feel very happy to have been invited to this film festival and very happy to be able to talk about it. Do you know that Spain has been the first country that has denounced the mediator case? I'm going to try to tell you in a few words. Mediator, we're not going to talk scientifically, but the chemical molecule is called benfluorex. And in Spain, it was commercialized just like in France, but it wasn't called mediator, but modulator. And for quite a while, therefore, the Spaniards also took mediator or modulator, and in 2003, Spanish doctors saw a valvulopathy and they said, this isn't normal. And they published the case of that valvulopathy, which was a serious valvulopathy, which in a 50-year-old woman like Corinne, and the Spanish health system reacted immediately. And what I'm going to tell you now, you won't be able to believe it. When the Servier French laboratory or pharmaceutical company, they saw there's a case of a valvulopathy in the heart with a mediator, they immediately asked Spain for their own initiative to take away the drug from Spain. Because of economic reasons, saying, let's take away modulator in Spain in 2003 because we have no market, sufficient market, because it's not profitable, quite simply. Spain and the authorities said, well, okay, in any case, it causes valvulopathies, and it's quite clear for us, so therefore no problem. They took it out of Spain, but the problem was, as the reason was an economic reason, the French agency paid no attention to this case. Modulator was taken out of Spain in 2003, and in 2009, we only had to wait until 2009, and in France, between 2003 and 2009, it had a market, which is an enormous market, with hundreds and hundreds of people that died due to the lie of the pharmaceutical company because it was taken away from Spain because of medical, for economic reasons. I've got all the proof to say that it was dangerous in Spain. I've got all of the data. But vis-a-vis the victims, those that have survived, the pharmaceutical company continues to say that in Spain in 2003, the drug was taken out of Spain because of economic reasons, albeit I have proof that provides evidence to the contrary. The story for me, that's the way it starts. Just like, as you may well understand, the truth is that Spain did things right, and that was very important.
Buenos días.
Hi, good morning. I would like to thank you because this is the type of film that makes sense of making films because it provides a voice to causes that need to be heard. I think this is a story about women who struggle and fight. I enjoy seeing the film and seeing you here today, by the way. And my question is more in the world of cinema. I still notice that women are left to one side. We notice that in the Oscars, for example. I don't know what the situation is in France, but that happens here as well. What is your perception vis-a-vis the struggle that has to be made in the world of cinema as a woman to be able to form part of an industry that I think continues to be quite sexist and more male-oriented, less women are participating? Okay, well, for me in France, no, there aren't any obstacles at all. Me being a woman to make movies or films, all the contrary, but I can't deny that many other countries, like the United States, the situation isn't the same. In France, the doors are open, and more so, there are more women directors, and there's a wave of women directors at present. So therefore, I personally have never had any obstacles at all or hurdles to overcome or to fight any battles. Well, yes, not because of, at least of being a woman, I've had to be a fight to become a director. No, you know, lucha como...
What has been happening is that I think I'm happy for my job as an actress. I think we are going more in the direction where we see women having the story, you know, whereas when I was younger, I remember the first film I did, there was a problem because I played the lead in my first film, and the PR people said, yeah, but nobody wants to see a woman on the poster, because women want to see men on posters and men want to see men on posters. And I think that's changed, and I think I think it's happening.
I agree with Emmanuel. In France, we are quite fortunate. We are fortunate of having a cinema and film industry which is quite feminine, and especially from production standpoint and investment in films. And I'm under the impression that I've had to fight, yes, and struggle, but not because I'm a woman. I've struggled in order to defend independent filmmaking and filmmaking which is unique. But I think that's a struggle that goes beyond the fact that I'm a woman or not. But it is true. There are films with a lot of women. In this case, that's not the case of the United States. But it is true that perhaps in other countries, this is a battle that still has to be fought. And we've got colleagues who have created an association which is called the Second Look, Deuxième Regard. And that's why, just like Sitze says, we are at a stage at present that makes us feel optimistic. Okay, and that's the end of the press conference. Thank you very much to all of you. Merci.